Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to Time to Love. This is your hour to relax, listen, maybe have an aha moment, or even call in. I'm Lydia, your lighthouse of love, teaching, motivating, and guiding you on your journey to loving yourself. Who else? When we love ourselves, we are better able to love others. After all, we're all mirrors for each other. So my topic today is tools, what's in your chest, and I have received a bit of grief from this topic, but I'll tell you what, this is how I thought of it. So one night, after working quite late at the Boulder Potters Guild, I was packing up my tool case. Now, I've had this case since 1976. I found it for like 50 cents at a Goodwill. It was when I first started doing pottery, and it's one of those Samsonite. Some of you might not be old enough to remember this, but women used to carry these rather large cases, and they were like overnight bags, but women also used them as their makeup bags, actually cases. And it's quite large and quite deep. And it's blue. And most of the time you can't really tell it's too blue because of all the clay that's on there. But anyway, that's my tool case that I was packing up. And I started just realizing how important tools are to me, especially in pottery. And I have my favorites. I have my favorite tools. I have tools that are very special that I don't use very much. But some of the tools I use every time I make pottery. And I have doubles and triples of some of my favorite tools. And I just find my life is easier with tools. I also have a tool chest at home for, you know, my tools that I use around the home, my hammer and my screwdrivers and that type of thing. And I came into my relationship with my husband with this toolbox. It's pink. And to this day, we still use it. It's the only toolbox we have. The latch is broken, but the toolbox is still able to hold our tools, so that's what I use. And I find the tools around the home to be very, very, very good. In fact, we replaced a doorknob just yesterday, and, you know, we got out the toolbox and we used the tools from it. And I just find tools to be something we all use and we all like, and I love mine. Now, thinking about how tools make our lives easier, I have my tools in pottery, my home, in my kitchen. I love a good wooden spoon. It's a beautiful tool, or one of my very own handmade with love mixing bowls, or my Cuisinart, or my coffee maker, or my stove, or microwave, dishwasher. The list is endless. And how about gardening tools? Now, I would hate to have to dig a hole with my hands. I am so thankful for a good shovel. Yes. Now, we all agree tools make our lives easier and more enjoyable. And so I started thinking about tools and how it related to maybe this show. And we have spiritual tools that help us in this journey of life. Now, if you want to weigh in on this, please call area code 646-727-2914. I'd love to hear from you. And since I have a very unique tool cases for my potter tools and my home fixin' tools, I decided to design a special tool bag for my spiritual tools. Now, this case or bag had to be rather large to fit all my tools in. When I first started this path, it could have been very small because I started this journey of loving myself and getting connected with spirit, which is inside me, with one very small book. And the book had no title. It was black. I can see it to this day, although I no longer have a copy. I have given away dozens of copies throughout the years, but I just don't know how to get another copy right now because it didn't have a title or an author. And basically, it was a book that started out with, "Be still and know I am God." It was amazing, and that was the first tool that I had. But as I've been on this path for many years, I've picked up many tools. So the bag I've created is like Mary Poppins bags. Hopefully you all remember that from the show Mary Poppins. But if you're on my personal Facebook page, I put it up there, a little film clip of that. It looks kind of like a carpet bag. And Mary Poppins puts it up on the table, and the two little children are there, and she started pulling out things to make her room her own. That's also, for me, a very spiritual analogy. You know, you go into a room, you go into your heart, into your soul, and you want to make it your own. So your bag will be different than my bag. Your spiritual tools that you use every day or once a week or once a month or once a year, whatever it is, will be quite different than my spiritual tools. But I want you to start thinking about these spiritual tools and maybe the bag that they're in. Now, when Mary Poppins opens that bag, the first thing she takes out is her hat rack. It's very large. The bag doesn't look that very large. But so my bag, too, would be very magical. And she takes out a large mirror, a large houseplant, a floor lamp. So I'm asking you, what would your bag look like? That's one of my very first questions to get you, you know, ruminating about. But what would I put in my bag? Well, I'd start with nature. I might put a great hiking trail that would end up by the ocean because it's all magical and it's all creative and it's in our imagination. So don't let you be limited by your imagination. That's the only thing. You know, if you have a great imagination, you might as well put exactly what you want. I have a friend right now that's in Italy, and, you know, maybe in the future that whole trip will be in her bag. So what would you put in your spiritual bag? What brings you back to center, to the place where you really know that you're connected to love, that you can really feel love for yourself? What would that be? What would be in there? Now, my friend Lennis posted a good one on Facebook a little bit earlier. It was a beautiful picture, but it said, the quote was, "Talk about your blessings more than you talk about your problems." Yes. I would put, along with my hiking trail, I would put an attitude of gratitude in my tool chest. It is definitely a wonderful tool to use every single day. Wake up and count five things. Just say out loud the five things that you're grateful for. Now, if your mate might think you're a little bit crazy or you might wake them up, you can do it in your head. But before your feet hit that floor, think of five things. You know, most of the time I'm one of the things, if I'm at a loss, I'll think of, hey, I'm alive today. I'm able to love again. I have that chance to start my day with lots of love and gratefulness and pass it on all day long. Then I might, you know, get more realistic and I might be grateful for that hot shower I'm about to have. Oh, my goodness. Hot water? Oh, that's got to be in my tool chest, too. Hot water, it melts away the aches and pains. It gets you clean and fresh. And this is very metaphorical for my spirit, you know. You might have a bunch of grime from the day before, things that are weighing you down, but you get in that hot shower, and it can just melt away. And I happen to love amazing soaps. I buy handmade soaps a lot, or, you know, soaps that are made, you know, handmade, but maybe in a bit large company. But I buy soaps that have some amazing smells in them. It all serves to rejuvenate my spirit. So, you know, the second thing I might be grateful for is a hot shower. And as I'm coming to life in that hot shower, I might be grateful for my wonderful health. I am so grateful for it. So many of us struggle with our health. So many people on this planet have things that you can't see. You know, I don't know about you, but I learned a great lesson long, long time ago when they started making handicap parking spaces. And I had some friends who would, you know, snottily say something about, well, look at that guy, looks like he's able to walk. Well, you know, you don't know until you walk in his shoes. His feet might hurt him so badly. He might have the startings of neuropathy in his feet from complications from diabetes. You just don't know. He could have had a heart transplant, and he can't walk very long distances. You just don't know until you're in someone else's shoes. My brothers and sisters, I ask you, please try not to judge. And that's a great tool, too, to be less judgmental. That would definitely be in my tool chest. Okay, but here I am being grateful. So another thing I am very grateful for, I've said this before, is my feet. So every day I have one of those pumice stones, and I try to, you know, get the large scales off of my feet, those little sharp places. And I try to tell my feet how much I love them, because I have walked so many places in my life, not the least of which was my walk for breast cancer. I did 60 miles in 3 days. And I learned while preparing for that walk, while doing all my training walks, how to be very grateful for my feet. And I also have wonderful creams that I put on my feet. I have one from Lush. I don't know if you all have Lush stores by you. If you've never gone in there, you've got to try this one thing. I've got a Fair Trade foot lotion. This is absolutely magical for sore, tired feet. It has cocoa butter cream. It has a little bit of peppermint, not very much at all. It's very light on the peppermint. In fact, I'd prefer it to have more peppermint. It has arnica infusion in it. That's the second ingredient. And arnica, if you don't know about it, I'm grateful for it because it really helps muscles. It helps bruising. If you run into a table, which I am, you know, likely to do at any given moment, I immediately go for the arnica gel I have, or even oil, and put some arnica on it. And if you get a bruise, it's going to be a lot less than if you didn't put it on, and it really helps those aches and pains. This cream also has spearmint in it. So that's a plug for Lush. Lush is fresh, handmade cosmetics. The only problem being that I see with Lush is that it originates from England, and I'd much rather it be made in the U.S., but I do love all of their remedies. They have wonderful bath bombs, and no, I'm not getting paid, darn it. Maybe I should call them and tell them that I plugged their products. Anyway, so I'm grateful for my feet. And then usually as I get out of the shower, I either see my wonderful husband or at least my one dog. She likes to hang out in the bathroom on the tile floor. And I'm just so grateful for both of them. So I think that brings me up to about 6. You know, really easily, in the most simple ways, you can give thanks. So that's why I wanted to bring you through my just quick and easy gratitude list, because it doesn't have to be so hard. It doesn't have to be, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, I don't know, like, you know, whatever it is. I'm grateful for God in my life. Yes, sure, I am. But it can be just as simple as I'm grateful to be able to breathe. I'm grateful for getting up, that type of thing. Now, we do have a caller on the line, and I know that it's Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I gave a couple questions. Do you have any ideas on these questions?
As far as what my tool chest would be?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I thought of when you talked about the tool chest is I saw my home in Bainbridge, and I thought that's the best tool chest for me. And all the things that I think matter would be in there. It's got enough acreage for me to be away from my tool chest, so I'm not my tool chest, but it's where I would want to keep the things that I need. And if I wanted something and I was traveling, I would want to go right back home to get what I needed. So at first I was going to ask you if I could do that, but then I thought, well, of course I can.
Of course you can. Like I said before, you're only limited by your imagination. And I know you have a big imagination, because in case I've got some new listeners, I do want you to know that Brenda is Miss Brenda Berry, and she has several shows on the Essence of Success Network. And also, I'm going to toot her horn. This is for you, Gaetano, but it's mostly for Brenda. And that is Brenda just published a book of her poetry. It's called My Feet Ain't Pretty. I do suggest you use one of those pumice stones, Brenda. And it's a poem from A Jagged Eye. It's not a huge book, but it is really beautiful. And there are some very amazing, powerful poetry in there. And, you know, that's another tool, poetry or the act of writing. I don't even have that on my list. I made up a quick list, but I don't have writing, and you guys all know I'm a journal keeper. And because of the beautiful Brenda, I actually have been writing some poetry. Not saying it's good. I'm just saying that I'm getting it out, and that's what I love about poetry. Poetry is a creative act that anyone can do. If you don't feel you're creative, you can put pen to paper. And what I love about poetry is, you know, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, you know, and we had a lesson in poetry, it had to rhyme. It can be a little unnerving for people that, you know, might not have access to a computer or, you know a lot of words, but you can, you know, you can just write out your feelings.
I'll mute it.
Yeah, the dogs agree with me, definitely. They're all about poetry, and they have their own form of poetry, dogs do. In fact, I have 2 chow doggies, and they are little poets in their own right. Whenever we drive to go hiking, if they're in the car, they sing, whine, cry, bark the whole way. They're getting a little bit better, but they know where we're going. It's really uncanny. We have one hiking trail that is about 35 minutes away, and they can tell. And they'll get excited in the beginning, And then they see or feel what route we're taking, and then they're like, oh, well, we've got 35 minutes to get excited. So then, and then literally when we are a few minutes from the trail, they pep up and start, you know, their braying again. They're so sweet. Yeah. So, and I would
It's interesting that you would say something about poetry. I remember getting something from somebody, and there was this challenge, and the challenge, the writer's challenge, was every time you, and so then I noticed there's something called I Know What You Want. Every time you look at me, I feel like a piece of fruit being studied by an art student for a still life. You know just what I'm going to do before I do it. Your eyes are somewhere between hypnotizing and hopeful. You know me. Anticipation is not your strong suit. When it's the right time and I reach for those special shoes that you love, then you know. I have the power. I make you wait. Strange, because your name spelled backward is God. When I get your leash, you gratefully, joyfully let me put it on. Out the door for the walk. You have been waiting. That was written by Lydia Pello.
Oh, that brought tears to my eyes because hearing you read it, it's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. That's true. And I did write that. So I'm going to own that. And I'm going to say that it sounds great. But
yep.
Brenda Beery has been an inspiration for me in many ways. So I'm going to toot her horn a little bit more. I also want to tell you again, My Feet Ain't Pretty, Poems from a Jagged Eye by Brenda Beery. You can get on Amazon. And soon you might be able to download it, right, Brenda?
Kindle? Yeah, you can get it on Kindle.
Oh, you can get it on Kindle, but soon we're going to have the author reading them. And I'm going to have to...
We're working on that.
Okay, we're working on that. I'm going to have to
on the audio,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the audio because I happen to love her voice. Another thing I'll toot her horn with is that we have the LNB, Passage to Empowerment, show on Monday evenings, and L stands for Lydia, that's me, Nina. Nina's in the chat room, which is not happening right now, or at least maybe it's reconnecting me. But anyway, we have Nina in the chat room. Hopefully that's lively today. I can't see it. And then Brenda is the B, LNB. And Brenda does a wonderful meditation at the end. It's on Mondays at 9 o'clock my time, that's Mountain Standard Time, and 8 o'clock on the Pacific Coast. So that would make it 11 o'clock on the East Coast. And so, we want to empower people. And, we have a kind of eclectic mix. The three of us are kind of eclectic and different. This week we're going to be talking to a group of paranormal investigators, Wolf Paranormal, and we'll be interviewing them. So that show will be interesting. If you have time or just listen to the archives or to any of our shows, Brenda also has two shows, and her show and my show are very similar in that she has BYO Brilliance, Bring Your Own Brilliance, and she talks about amazing things. In fact, last week she talked about having a mission statement, and it was very powerful and got me to write my mission statement, which I say at the beginning of the show. It's something that I feel near and dear to my heart. And so listen to those things on the archives. Brenda also has Filmcology, which combines film and psychology. Usually I say this at the end of the show, but I just feel like saying it now. It just kind of opened the door, and I'm going to walk through it. It's been a really nice month in that we've been reviewing Aliens to the Third Power, Aliens Resurrection, And next week we'll be doing Prometheus. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to end that with the prequel to the Alien series. So that'll be will be the last week, next Thursday, that we work on the aliens.
And, you know, and for those of you that don't know, Brenda is working on getting her PhD in psychology. So I always love having her around because she has great takes on things. So, okay, so you have this wonderful tool chest, this house on 13 acres. That is a brilliant tool chest, and it's a tool in and of itself, because when I come visit, I will have those 13 acres to walk around, and it's an island, so it's right on, you know, there'll be beach, right?
Yeah, there's
right
a
on
beach.
The,
it's a high property, so you have to go down the many, many steps down to the beach, but yeah, it's an island, so you're gonna find water wherever you go, but the house isn't the only thing on the island, so... But, yeah, and it is a tool chest. And when you come, hopefully we'll have a place for you to teach us some pottery and things like that. So it's more than just a house for me. It's actually it's going to be my life's work. It's going to be involved with that whole complex. So.
Ooh, and I've seen pictures of it. It's amazing. It's a beautiful tool chest. And
I claim it.
What?
It's my home and I claim it. So you asked for the tool, also the tools that are in our tool chest?
Yeah. What would you do? Let's see if we have some of the same things. What would you put in there?
Well, laughter is one that I have in there, and most people that I know I laugh with. Even people who tend to see me as serious can usually get some kind of weird laughter out of me because I have an obtuse way of looking at things. And the other thing is honesty. I just think it's really important for us to be as honest as possible. Somebody said something to me recently about the truth, and she was kidding me around or whatever. It's like, well, that's not the truth. What I think, and I said, the truth exists simply as it is. We see different perspectives, but that does not make it the truth. It's just one side of it. So to me, the truth. I mean, I would just want anyone who walked in my complex or who accessed my tool chest to just be honest, even if it's stuff you don't think anyone's going to like. I think that it relieves us of a lot of pressures, and it also helps us to honor our true natures. And it gives people a chance to, I guess, really connect. So my tool chest would have to have laughter, honesty, and really comfortable couches with blankies and pillows that are big and small, so that, you know, you can either slump over one, put one behind your back, have your head on it, or whatever. If you want to be down and dirty with the dogs on the ground or on a pillow, or that's it. Music, laughter, honesty, and comfort.
We have a lot of the same things in common.
Yeah.
I don't have honesty, but I have laughter. I have laughter in there.
How can anyone live without laughter? It's a frightening aspect.
Yeah. Well, and on the other side of that coin, crying. I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, crying. I if I don't cry in a week, I find the need to cry. And then I'm like doing silly things like crying for a Kodak commercial or something like that. You know, the music starts about dogs that Sarah McLachlan, you know, wants you to save, and, oh, man, I'm just bawling. But, you know, it to me, crying is a tool. Crying, for me, I think I'll write a poem someday about it, but it's, you know, it's like that hot shower for me. You know, it cleanses me. It gets out that sadness. And, you know, and I'm able to, you know, depending on the length of the cry, wallow it in a little bit. And let's face it, you know, that I'm all about love and loving yourself, and feeling your feelings is one of the ways that you're loving yourself, which combines with honesty. You know, my friends see me as a very happy soul, and I am. I am blessed. That's one thing I'm very grateful for also, is how happy I am. But if we're honest, you're going to see me cry. You're going to see me get angry. You're going to see
me. Yeah, that's
me...
how it is. Sorry, I don't like to cry in front of a lot of people, because sometimes when I cry, I don't want anyone to touch me. And a lot of people want to move towards touching you or holding you. And it might have something to do with their own feelings. But and you have talked to me about that on many occasions, and I have to say, if that's one time that I'm not as honest, is I will hold back my tears sometimes when I try. But then as we know, Nina, I've talked on shows and I get emotional, and I did that when I did the show Blackfish, and I needed support, so I had my closest friends close to keep me from completely just bawling. So I was trying to be as honest as possible, but if I had been honest on that show, you wouldn't have understood a word I said. I would have cried the whole time.
Well,
still makes
that's...
me want to cry, but...
It does me also. In fact, I listened to it, and I don't know if I wasn't able to call in or I listened on the archives, and I just bawled. I just bawled. You know, I bawled for how could we do that to these beautiful creatures. I bawled for the creatures. I just cried my little heart out, and I cried for you because I could feel you holding it in. So it was very emotional. It was a very emotional show. I don't think I could have gotten through it. But, you know, my friends know that when I am crying, that's when I'm honest and they can connect, because there are people that aren't as happy as I am and aren't as optimistic as I am. And when they see me being real and honest, then we connect on a soul level. And they're like, oh, the woman, you know, is human. And I don't want to apologize for my optimism. I'm very optimistic, but, you know, it's just a part of me, but I also cry too.
I think you're pointing out a really excellent aspect of this show. The crying is connecting with your honesty, and that honesty is allowing things to is allowing your emotions to flow. And it seems to me like it's like one of the best tools to allow the love in your heart. The reason you're probably so cheerful and you're so upbeat is because you do honestly allow your emotions to flow instead of stopping them up or trying to front on being like, oh yeah, that doesn't get me, that doesn't bother me, and da da da. Well, my dad, who passed a couple months ago, that guy was 6 feet two or three or something like that, and he was a man of stature, and he cried. He cried,
mm-hmm.
And he didn't have any. He didn't walk around like a wet blanket. He wasn't an Alan Alda type, but he if he felt like crying, he cried. And he didn't seem to be ashamed of it, which was a big lesson to me as his, you know, baby daughter. So I think that your tool chest is a way to sort of exercise the things that are within you that need to come out, and assist you in living a better and higher quality loving life. So it's an excellent suggestion to get our tools in there and use this tool chest to live a better life. You're a great example of connecting with the tools that are in there to make a better life.
And I see that Nina's joined us. I'm not sure if she wants to talk. What's going on in the chat room?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, Mel was there for a little while. He said to, she said to tell you guys that she loves you. And, yeah, there's nobody else there, just little old me. So I thought I'd just join on in with you two.
Woohoo!
Do you have any ideas? Have you, you know, have you thought about what your tool chest might look at or what would be in there, Mia?
I have. I don't know.
No.
There, here we go. True emotions. Not the phony ones. Like, we all know these phonies out there that pretend to laugh, pretend to cry, pretend to care. But true emotions of laughter and honesty and compassion, those definitely in my tool chest for sure. Hot water, oh yeah, gotta have hot water.
Oh, God, yeah.
A hot tub.
Oh yeah.
There's the Nina we know and love.
Yeah, gotta have a hot tub and comfort, whether it be a soft blankie to cover up in, a fire going in the fireplace, a nice glass of wine, friends, just total comfort. Good food. Music and dance. Got to have music and dance. And, of course, my Reiki to help everyone.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Excellent.
And that's pretty much my list, you know, and it's all about being real, being true to yourself and true to others.
Yeah, and I can attest that Nina exemplifies that. You know where Nina is at, she'll tell you. And I admire that quality in you. And I love that quality in you, Nina.
Thank you.
Very, very much. Yeah, I also have music, dancing, singing, and also chanting. You know, maybe you don't feel like you're a singer, but join in on a chant sometime. You know, and not just go rah-rah team, but although that feels good too. At a sporting event, to cheer on your team, that's, for many people, that is a way of them to connect to something within themselves. I have to attest, my husband, he loves yelling out in a game, and I love sitting next to him because he just yells the most funny stuff in the world, and it's so right on. You know, he has these great eyes he was blessed with, and he can see a play before other people do, and he'll yell at the refs or, you know, cheer on his team, and that's really, really important for him. And I would bet if he had to sit long and hard and think about it, I bet that's something he would have in his tool chest, definitely. I also have, and I love to sing. So before I start my show, I actually do some voice exercises, and I sing something and try to hit those high notes and just exercise my vocal cords. And I realized as I was doing this how important that is for me in music and dancing and moving your body. Oh, my God. We are just so blessed. Yes, I know sometimes we wake up sore and we have aches and pains, but we are spiritual beings having a human experience in this wonderful body, and moving it is a gift. You know, I think of the people who probably that's their one wish is to be able to move their body and they can't do it. You know, they are paralyzed or they're without limbs or whatever. And, you know, So a lot of them, I actually knew a man who was paralyzed from the neck down, but his brain was so active and he got a computer that he could, you know, move around and it would talk for him. And so he was still very active. So movement of any kind, exercise. My husband, you know, he can be a poopy pants sometimes. You know, and he'll say, "Oh, I'm feeling really poopy." You know, he'll apologize for it, and myself and his partner, who is also a woman, we're very similar, Shauna and I, and she has encouraged him to run, and I encourage him to run, but for some reason he listens to her more, maybe because she's not his wife, and he will go for a run, and running for him is one of the things that centers him. If he's bogged down by the day's events or the week's events, he can go out running and completely. He says he gets into his zone, and for him it is like a meditation, and he runs great distances. So he loves running. So exercise is in there. You know, for some people, church is an amazing spiritual tool for them. They couldn't live without their church, and I am so grateful for them that they have their church and their community of people that feel the same way. They probably have a leader of their church that they greatly admire. They might be in the choir. They might bring things after church for people to eat, and they have that community. There might be classes at the church. You know me, I'm not a big church goer. There are a few churches that I do like to attend now and then, but that's a tool for many people, and so I don't want to discount that at all. Church can be amazing. The computer, it's our friend and it's our foe, and of course we can abuse it, but the computer, if I am feeling bad, I can go on Facebook, and people I've surrounded myself with are very positive people for the most part, and they'll post beautiful things. Like I said, Lennis had that beautiful, that beautiful picture with the quote, "More than you talk about your problems, talk about your blessings." And it was so beautiful that I said right then and there, I read it. This is probably 15 minutes before showtime, and I was like, I'm using that, and that's going to be attributed to Lennis. So, and it ties into the gratefulness, too. So the computer, you can watch movies on it. Movies are on my list of spiritual tools. I know that sounds strange, but I get a lot from movies. Sometimes I might use movies as a tool for laughter, and sometimes I might use movies as a tool for crying. And sometimes I'm watching a comedy and it also makes me cry. I love those because what's happening usually in those movies are, they're basically funny, but they connect you to a part of yourself or a part of the human existence that just brings you to tears. And sometimes I'm just a weird one. You guys who know me well, I will cry when it's just so beautiful, that's just me. I know, I'm crazy.
Lydia, you're not so weird. I do it too.
Oh, good. I mean, I don't cry at the Kodak Moment commercials because, they're necessarily sad. I cry because they show people connecting, and that brings me to tears because it's part of my mission statement. I want to connect with people, and I want, in my mission statement, what I want is to connect people to that beautiful, loving part of themselves, that I see when I look at people. And so whenever I see that in a movie, in a commercial, in a television show, that can bring me to tears. And then sometimes I burst out laughing because I'm so crazy. I just love it. I'm sorry.
Well, then I'm just as crazy as you are. So, yeah, we're in good company.
You're both weird and crazy. That's all I got to say.
What did you just say?
She's laughing.
See the firstborn getting ready to attack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dina, our firstborn.
No, I think that's just totally excellent. When it comes to movies or even fiction that you read, and I had a cousin who used to say all the time,
to me, because I would start crying when I'd see a movie and there was just really heartfelt situation going on. She'd just get all upset and say, you guys just sit there crying for those TV. It's not real. And she just went on and on like I was some kind of idiot. But I was a kid at the time, and then as I got older, I began to think to myself, what kind of person cannot connect with real emotions, whether they're imagined or not? That's somebody who's so afraid to be in touch with their emotions. I'm not saying that because it makes me feel better. It's just I thought about that a lot. I've read a lot in psychology about that, and it says a lot about how you're able to connect. And if you can't connect with the unreal, what are you doing with the real?
Well, and
so I feel an emotion with it, yeah.
I would imagine that that is one of the reasons you decided to do your show Filmcology.
Well, yeah, and that and the fact that I believe that and this society, with all the stressors and the problems and the fearful uncertainty that is being exacted upon people in the world globally, that at some point people are going to have to understand that just like your baker and your doctor and your nutritionist and your, the person who does your toenails or your fingernails, mental health and mental balancing is something that we all need to access. You don't have to be insane to see a therapist just to vent about something your wife or your husband or your children do, or the fact that your boss is really stinky and you're forced to work in his office. It could be any number of things. It could be your dogs. My dogs have brought me to tears with their eating regimes. One minute they eat, the next minute they don't. You know, and it's like, if you're not going to give us pizza, we're not. I mean, and I used to cry because I would be worried about them getting enough nutrition. It doesn't take much. But then, you know, when you talk to your friends that you might want to complain about, like I'm sure most of my friends have wanted to complain about me. They may not feel comfortable telling me, you know, Brenda, I feel that you're a little bit passive-aggressive or a lot of bit passive-aggressive or something.
No, you're not passive. You're not passive, boo. Sorry.
And, yeah, just seek counseling because I don't need to hear it. Since you're my friends,
okay.
I don't have to be your counselor either. So, everybody needs to talk to somebody that is uninvolved here and there. And that's one of the – I'm just hoping that Filmcology will help people understand that it's a great service for everybody. Just like crying, it's cathartic. It helps you connect and release. Connect and release and move on with your life. And I think having a good toolbox can help you do that.
Definitely, definitely. And in that toolbox, I would put a counselor of some sort. You know,
brilliant.
A good therapist. At the very least, maybe a minister that listens well. Someone that you feel safe with, that you can talk to, who will listen. I feel therapists are trained to, you know, give you good therapy, and so I'm not adverse to a good therapist, but some people might feel more comfortable with a priest or a friend that listens well and that who can remove themselves from, you know, their stuff. I have had friends like that. My husband happens to be an amazing listener. He is not as much a talker as I am at times. At times he is. But I'm really grateful. Not that he's my therapist, but he listens really well to me. And he doesn't try to fix everything. He knows that I'm capable. I'm capable of fixing things. So I'm very grateful to have him in my life. But a therapist, let's put therapists in our toolbox. We could have a Reiki practitioner. That's another good tool, as well as a good massage therapist. Or
and water.
Oh, water, yeah. Water as I drink from my water bottle, yeah. Water is good. Water is good not only for drinking, but water, as I attested, the hot water in a hot tub, the hot water in the shower, but also swimming, and that moves your body, and you're in water. And if you have some extra weight like I do, I love the way water makes me feel so weightless and flexible, and I love it. In fact, I have a friend, and she had she just got one of her knees replaced and is going to get the other one replaced. Chris, if you're listening, that's you. And she has for years now worked out in a pool, and that's what she does for her form of exercise. And it sounds like fun to me for many ways. Yeah. She's been very successful at it.
Yeah.
I also have my toolbox. I have something that's coming up for me in the next couple months. I'll be talking on my shows about this, but that is travel. Travel can be in your toolbox because travel allows you, first of all, to step away from your day-to-day routine, which can bog all of us down, and or it gives us, seems to give us tunnel vision. You know, we walk around and it's like we have blinders on. We see that, you know, we have to get up and we have to start our job or whatever it is. And then we come home or we're home already and we're tired and we fix dinner or we eat dinner. And then we go to bed and then we start it all over again. But travel is a way of opening up the blinders, seeing what's out in the world, seeing other people's. And, you know, it can be from going to Colorado, where I live in mid-Colorado, to eastern Colorado, where I'm not saying they're a whole different animal, but they are a whole different animal. These are people who live on basically the plains, and they have different outlook, different morals, views, some of the same, but they're just a little bit, they might be closer to the earth than I am. So, you know, just taking a car ride someplace different, going up into the mountains. See, you know, people think of Boulder as in the mountains. We are not in the mountains. We are at the foothills of the mountains. So people will always think that I'm getting all the snow because they're saying, oh, lots of snow in Vail, Colorado. Well, Vail is up in the mountains. We are at the foothills. We're at the base of the mountains, and sometimes we might get more than the mountains. It just depends on weather patterns and what our beautiful friends like Nina are sending us from Canada. If it comes down this way, you know, in this, you know, little corridor. But it is, you know, frequently we have a lot less snow than the mountains, and we're kind of nestled up there, but we get some really amazing winds. But travel. So coming up in April, I am going to Boston with my husband. He is going to run the Boston Marathon, and that's going to be one of my shows. I'm hoping, I haven't yet settled it down yet, but I'm hoping to do an interview with my husband probably the week before the Boston Marathon. And I think that will be very interesting. And also then in May, I am taking a train ride with my sister from Denver to San Francisco. And I'll be staying in San Francisco. And I'm actually going to do my show from San Francisco and talk about travel, all the things I'm learning, connecting with people. You know, it's so great to get out of your routine and just, you know, you meet people and you smile more because maybe you're not working or whatever it is. It's just, travel is in my tool chest. In fact, I'm putting it in my tool chest for this year. I'm putting it out there. I am going to create for myself some amazing travel this year. I mean, hopefully all the years, because it is something that really reinvigorates me. It's like a good massage. It's just something that it just makes me more enthusiastic than I already am, and just more, you know, I get, you know, I'm here at home, and I have my group of friends and people I know, and they're wonderful. But I get out and I travel, and I realize lots of people are amazing and wonderful. You know, I like being completely vulnerable when I travel. Now, my husband likes to plan things, you know, down to the letter. And sometimes we're not able to plan something. And I always tell him, well, we'll switch to plan B. And he's like, well, what the hell is plan B? And I'll say, well, I don't know. We're going to make it up as we go along. I kind of like flying by the seat of my pants. And I like to just create some amazing experiences. And it's so cool after things happen, you know, on our travels that we couldn't have planned or didn't plan, but they're absolutely amazing. I always turn to my husband and I tell him, we are magic together. We create the most amazing experiences. And he agrees with me. He loves it. So travel is in there. What about for you ladies? You like to travel? I know you like to travel.
Well, of course I love to travel, but can I just say one thing, Lydia? There's a lot of people out there that can't afford to travel away from home. But you know what? There's so many places you can travel to right where you live.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why you can't go to a museum, an art gallery, just downtown, walk some paths downtown. In the city I live in, we have a gorgeous river valley with tons of walking paths. Go there. Go
I've
to the
been
zoo.
There. Yes.
Go to the ledge grounds. Go wherever. But just go someplace that you don't normally go to, and that's like taking a trip.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Well, they even have a name for it now with gas prices so high. They have staycations. Meaning you stay at home, but you have a vacation in your home. You know, you have in your hometown. You know, you can, like Nina said, going to a museum, oh, my God, you can learn so much and see so many interesting things. I personally, you guys know I'm a big walker. I love to walk. And even walking right around my neighborhood, I learned so much. I learned things about neighbors. Yes, I am a bit of a voyeur. I like to look in people's windows, see how they've decorated, see what wall color they have on their windows, if their shades are. I don't actually go up to the window, guys. Okay,
I was just going to say, Lydia, that's called a peepee Tom. Yeah.
I'm not that bad. But if they got their windows open, my head's turning. I'm checking out their decor. And like I said, their paint choices, see what's going on in their gardens. I love seeing their gardens. There is a guy at the top of our block who he's a builder, and he remodeled his house and had a couple kids in the years he's lived in our neighborhood. And he's now decorating. It took him a long time to attack his garden, his front garden. And he's doing some interesting things that I like. He's putting some metal sculptures in there, things from
–
He has a flying pig in there. That's one of his newest ones. He's got a peacock, really beautiful, metal sculpture, but it's painted. It's really, really gorgeous. No flamingo that I see, but, you know, Boulder is very green. We're kind of granola heads, and the green movement is on and thriving in Boulder. And a lot of people xeriscape their landscapes, which I am total in favor of. And so he's got the rocks, and he's got the plants that are native to Colorado, and then he's got these sculptures. And so and when he gets a new one, I think I'm the first to notice because I always say something to him when he's out there. But, yeah, so, you know, it doesn't have to – travel doesn't have to be far. And I'm not rich. I'm just – I'm lucky to have great friends and a great sister who's paying for my train trip out to San Francisco. I'm very excited. So, but, you know, my husband and I both – we probably put travel on the top of our list for things to do as a family. We've always traveled, and mostly we travel by car, and I love taking car trips. Yeah, so that's in my tool chest. Now, I do have something, because we're getting near the end, I'm going to ask each of you if you have anything else to say about it, but I have to read you something from one of my favorite authors, Anne Lamott, that she wrote, and I was like, oh, my God, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. So it's, here I go. It's from Anne Lamott. It's from her book, Traveling Mercies, Some Thoughts on Faith. And she writes, it's funny. I always imagined when I was a kid that adults had some kind of inner toolbox full of shiny new tools, like the saw of discernment, the hammer of wisdom, the sandpaper of patience. But then I grew up, I found that life handed you these rusty, bent old tools, friendships, prayer, conscience, honesty, and said, do the best you can with these. They will have to do, and mostly against all odds they do. So she has a different take on the tools and the tool chest, but I love her, and I love her take on just about everything. So any thoughts, Brenda? Nina?
For the last thoughts about the tool chest?
Yes. How about life or the day or whatever comes into your mind? I'm easy.
Well, I love the show. I love the whole concept, and I know I teased you about this, but I do. I was serious when I was teasing you, and Nina seconded it. But I believe that, yeah, tool chest is very important. It's very important for us to understand what tools that, you know, we actually rely on and maybe some tools that we need to start incorporating. And I'm thinking of a lot of tools now that I'd like to incorporate more often in my chest and bring over to Bainbridge.
Cool. Excellent. Well, you know, and the things she was teasing about are, you know, the tools that bring you pleasure. But you know, there's probably another whole show for that. So, and the show is on loving yourself. So, you know, I have a sense of humor, and yeah, no, you can let your imaginations run wild with just that hint of what she was teasing me about. So, Nina.
Yes, my dear. I just want to say thank you for bringing this up and make people aware of the tools that they are using every day and may not even know it. So this is good. It makes you think, makes you want to improve your life a little bit more, and like you said, love yourself. And also, one other thing that has to be in that tool chest. Ready, Lydia? Battery.
Yeah. Yeah, because so many things run on batteries these days. Yeah, stick some batteries in your tool chest, definitely. And, you know, now, okay, you've gotten me set off in a whole other direction, but batteries is amazing food. And even some, you know, libations. You know, alcohol can be in your tool chest. You know, it's not something you're going to rely on totally, but sometimes it's just what the doctor ordered. A nice glass of wine, and all of a sudden you can see many more tools, mainly the one on gratitude, you know, the tool of gratitude. You can, you know, go, thank God for this wine. I had such a week or such a day, and now I can get all comfy in my comfy parts of my tool chest, like my big pillow and my quilt, and I can cover up, and I can just relax. So, you know, I'm an equal opportunity tool chest person, and I would like to encourage everybody to maybe get a new tool. When I get a new tool, I have a pottery store that I go to, and they're like, oh, what can we help you with today? And I order my clay, and then I walk around, and I look for some new tool. Potters are notoriously kind of crazy for their tools. So you guys, here is your homework. Either dust off dust off a tool that you haven't used in a while. Maybe you haven't gone dancing in a while, or haven't listened to your favorite music. I don't care if it's from the 50s, 60s, 70s, even disco. You know, get out your album or your CD, whatever you got, and, you know, play it or get a new one. You know, maybe you have, I go through periods of not listening to music, and music is an amazing tool for me. And so maybe I'm going to buy something, some new music, and listen to that, download some new music, you know, get a new book. You guys, the library, it doesn't even cost anything. You can get so many tools that do not cost a thing. Most of us have telephones. Pick up your telephone and call that person that you've been thinking about and have not talked to in ages. Do it. Do it. And I want you to report back to me. You can leave a comment for me after you listen to my show. I also want to encourage you all to stay tuned to Essence of Success Network. We have shows every single day of the week, and they run the gamut. You know, my show, Time to Love, on Saturdays. Then Sundays, we have In the Studio with Lennis, and that's always interesting. Mondays, we have our show, LNB, Passage to Empowerment, with Lydia, Nina, and Brenda. And you've got to tune in to the paranormal, Wolf Paranormal, interview that we do. I'm sure it'll be very, very interesting. My mom would have loved this show. She loved anything about the paranormal. My mom was a freak. I love her dearly. And let's see, Tuesday we have BYO Brilliance with Brenda Berry. I talked about her show. What's coming up this Tuesday, Brenda?
The dog.
Yeah, the dogs. We're on a new time. It starts at 6 o'clock on the West Coast and 7 o'clock here in Mountain Standard, so it would be 9 o'clock on the East Coast. But what's coming up? What's this week's show about, this coming week? Brenda? Oh, she slaughtered her dogs. It's okay. But it's going to be interesting, so please tune in. On Wednesday, we have free psychic hour with Lennis, and usually Brenda is there also. And Lennis is our founder of our network, and she's very, very good. So if you want to ask her a question, she will do that for free. Ask one question, and on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock on the West Coast, she'll answer it for you. On Thursdays, we have Filmcology. That's with Brenda also, and we'll be finishing up. We'll do the prequel to the Alien series. And on Friday, we have Traffic Jam at 3 o'clock on the West Coast, and that's a half an hour of music that will make you forget about your week or make you ready to start your weekend, either one. And that's about it for the show. Anybody have any last words?
Nothing I can think of. A great topic, Lydia. Thank you.
I love you, Nina. Thank you for being here, you guys. And what's the BYO Brilliance this week, Brenda?
Oh, I'd have to look at the thing because I had a couple and I have to look at it. So, and it's not up on my computer right now, but I'll... I haven't scripted the show for it yet, but I was working on it. I'm sorry. I have to, because there's two of them, and I'm afraid I'm going to give you the wrong one, because I think I did one that's like into the future, and then the one for this week I did. Anyway, sorry, folks, but it will be up.
That's okay.
I'll get it up today.
We're going to end our show with one of my favorite songs. So thank you, Brenda, for putting it up for me. You guys, love yourself. That's what I want you to do. Just love yourself a little bit more. Use the tools in your tool chest. Buy a new one or get a new one or dust off one that you haven't used in a while. I love you all, and hopefully have a great week.
Thank you.
Love.
Namaste.
Oh, okay.